And our message tonight is from Mark chapter 2. So if you would like to turn in your Bible, if you've got your Bible with you, or if you've got a mobile or whatever you've got, look up Mark chapter 2, and we're thinking here about verses 1 to 12. Many of you know the story, and this particular story is also recorded in the Gospels of Matthew and the Gospels of Mark and Luke. So in the three Gospels. Tonight we're going to focus on Mark. But it's amazing too how each writer, it took different angles and verifies the other writing, and each account brings a little more detail and a little more insight into the happenings that were happening on this particular day. Now, we can read it here in Mark chapter 2. It starts off verse 1, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Now we're going to look right down to verse 12 tonight. Just for the sake of time, we're not going to read it all. I'm going to move through it pretty quickly. But I just want us to look there. And it tells us there that the Lord was in the house. And I thought about this. I thought about the people in Capernaum. And I thought about how there was no mobile phones. They couldn't send a text message. They couldn't put something up on Facebook. They couldn't do any of this. But they would talk to one another. And the word was, he's in the house down the road. He's in the house. And the news spread like wildfire. And here, like a news reporter, here we have Mark, and he notes that it was noised, or it was reported by the locals, that Jesus was preaching the word of God in the house. It was the presence of the Lord in that place. Is that what we need tonight? We need the presence and the power of the Lord. And I need help from the Lord tonight. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we pray tonight that thy presence will be in the house tonight. We thank you for thy presence already. We thank you for the songs that have been sung to your glory. And we thank you for the word of testimony to the glory of God. And we pray tonight that thy word, Lord, will find a resting place in some heart, in some life, maybe here or online. But Lord, there are precious souls that need to hear this message tonight. Lord, speak on in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, in another part of Capernaum, another scene was unfolding. And to illustrate this point, I'm going to use this, okay? Because we've been reading tonight about a man, and he faced a huge challenge in his life. What was the challenge? What was it? You're allowed to speak up, by the way. Okay. He wasn't able to walk. Isn't that right? He couldn't walk. Wherever he wanted to go, he relied on the help of his friends. And I was thinking about him each day. There he was, and he would lie in his little, bed. Okay? This is for the children as well, but the big children too. Okay? So he would lie in his bed. I mean, I thought about that, and I thought about how the man would think of, and see all the people moving about, maybe past his house. He would think, I wish I could be like them. I wish I could get out. I wish I could go to work. I wish I could go to the market. All of these things. But you know, he had heard about someone that could help him. Someone that could transform his life. He heard, in fact, he's in the house. He's in a house in Capernaum, maybe on the other side of town. But how's he going to get there? He can't ring up a taxi, can he? He can't. What's he going to do? He can't walk. He can't get out of his little bed. And so what would happen? Well, it tells us here in verse 3, the Bible tells us here exactly what would happen, that there were going to be four people, and I'm going to call them as four friends. Or as we say in Belfast, there's four mates, okay? And there they are, and they're going to come to this man's aid. What are they going to do? They're going to get this man, and they're going to get him out of his little bed, and they're going to put him on a stretcher, we're going to call it, okay? Maybe it was like a sheet, maybe tied at the four corners, and they would carry this man through the streets of Capernaum. What a sight. They became his stretcher bearers. There's four little things I want us to think about this particular story tonight. Four things, all significant. Four characters. They all begin with S. I hope it will help you to remember. The first ones are the ones that we're going to focus on the most. So don't worry if I'm still talking about the first point when I should be finished, because the others are pretty quick. But the first one is the stretcher bearers. And here they are, and they're doing for him what he couldn't do for himself. Now, what does that remind us of? Well, that reminds me that the Lord Jesus came into this world to do what we could never, ever do for ourselves. You might say to me, well, I can do all these good works and I can do these things. But you know, as I think about the Lord Jesus Christ, it was only the Lord Jesus Christ that died an atoning death. It was only the Lord Jesus Christ that was good enough to take the punishment of our sin on that cross. And I love this little song. The hymn writer, he asks the question, what can wash away my sin? Let's try that again. What can wash away my sin? That's better. Nothing but the blood of Jesus is the answer. Isn't that right? The hymn writer got it right. Here's the Lord Jesus doing for us what we could never, ever do for ourselves. We are sinners, and only Christ is the Holy One, the Son of God. You know, when I think about this story, I'm sure the fact that this man was getting carried through the town, he had people that were friendly and kind enough to take him through the town and to take him to who he needed to see. I'm sure he was absolutely delighted. I would say he was buzzing. Isn't that what we say sometimes? He was absolutely delighted. And you know, when I think about what the Lord Jesus has done for us, are you delighted tonight? What do God's people say? Can we say amen? Can we? I think we can. Can we say amen? Amen, we can. Praise the Lord for what he has done and he continues to do. What about you tonight? There's a question. Are you saved? Have you met the risen Savior? Have you asked him to forgive your sin? There's a question tonight to ask yourself. It's a most important question. You see, I think about this story as it moves on, and they head to the house, and the house where Jesus is reported to be preaching, and they're carrying him through the streets. And as they approach, they notice something. I don't know if the house had big windows or not, but anyhow, let's just think about it for a moment. Maybe look through the window. Picture the scene. What do they see? They see many other people have got there before them. The place is crowded. It's packed out. It's filled with people. So what do these men do? Do they get their friend and say, do you know what, mate? I'm sorry, but we have tried our best. The place is full up. The heat, the midday sun, whatever. It's warm. It's the Middle East. We need to take you home again. Sorry about that. Do they do that? No. These men do not give up. They demonstrated kindness beyond the call of duty. They were determined. They were prepared to actually think out of the box and not just do what everyone else would do. Maybe just, if it was me or you, we might have thought, well, we tried our best here, but the place is packed, and dear knows when these people will leave this house. They could be here all day. Let's just take them home again. That's the easy way, isn't it? Just maybe that's just what everybody would do. But these men done something. They thought, they looked, lifted up their eyes, they looked around them. I can picture them thinking, how do we get our friend to Jesus, to the Lord Jesus? In fact, they allowed themselves, as I thought about this little instance in God's word, they allowed themselves to be the instruments in the sovereign plan of God to bring this man to Christ for salvation. That was a little thought that came to me. And I thought, How amazing is our sovereign God? He works all things out for his glory. You see, the scripture doesn't tell us that they were skilled porters doing their job. They were getting paid. It doesn't tell us any of that. No, they were just simply ordinary people, just like you and me perhaps tonight. But they were available. They made themselves available. They would go the second mile to carry out an act of kindness, a simple act that's been recorded 3 times in the Gospels for you and I to not only read, but to do likewise. You know, the Gospel, to those that are saved, the being a Christian doesn't just stop there. As Joshua was giving his testimony tonight, he was telling about what he's involved in, what he's doing. And you know, as Christians, we need to be moving forward for the Lord Jesus Christ, serving him, making ourselves available. Someone once said, no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. A great little thought. I'll say this, it's a true story. A church over in England, a number of years ago, there was a pastor and he was teaching the believers there, those that were saved, and he was saying to the church, you know, you need to be demonstrating this practical love to visitors. People walk in the door, you need to show practical love. Okay, there'll be a man at the door and he'll shake hands and welcome, but he was making the point everyone has this responsibility to show hospitality, to reach out to those that we come in contact with every week. And so the pastor came up with a plan. What was his plan? He said, if you're sitting in church, I want you to be the person that if someone, a visitor, drops in beside you, that you're going to be the one that's going to welcome them. Don't wait or don't depend on the man at the door or the pastor. You go and welcome them. This is what these 4 men were doing. They were available and they were showing kindness. Well, the following Saturday night, in that congregation, just outside the door, along the street a bit, there were a load of boys came. They were bikers. And they were out on a bit of a hoolie, a party night. And they thought they all met up down the street and they were all drinking and the drink was flowing half the night. And eventually, the morning time, they were still there. And, you know, the old drink was in and the wits out. And the old drink was a curse. And one of them dares the other one, tell you what to do. See them boys going to church in there? Why don't you go in? Go you in and make a bit of a scene. And maybe you get up and preach. Go ahead. And the boy goes over and he walks away across the street, down into the street, and he goes into the church, and there he is. And he sits down for a wee minute. But there's a wee woman in that church, and she's called Marge. Do you know what happened? He sat just across from Marge. And Marge, she had been listening to the sermon the week before, and she thought, oh, she was full of the joy of the Lord. She wanted to serve the Lord Jesus in everything she did, and she wasn't going to leave it to anyone else to do. She thought, if the Lord's called us to do it, we'll do it myself, and I'll do it for his glory. And that's what she done. She went across to the man. As soon as he sat down, she wanted to put the sermon into action. And here she was to him. Son, good to see you. God loves you. And she gave him a big hug. It was probably before COVID. Maybe it was during COVID. Who knows? But that's what she done. And do you know what the man done? He sat down. He didn't get up and disrupt the service. And to cut a long story short, he comes back the next Sunday. And he's sober this time. And he comes back again and again. And what happens? He goes to meet the pastor. And what happens? He's heard the gospel message. He gets gloriously saved. And the pastor says to him, what was it? Was it part of my message? Or what part? Was it something I said? Or what was it? And he said, what got me thinking about this message, he said, was Marge. Marge showed the love of Christ to me. He said, no one ever told me that they love me. Nobody. And I thought tonight, how many people in Belfast have never heard that their someone loves them. Maybe been brought up, just seen as a problem in the house. And they live like that, and they get into trouble, and they become a problem, and they end up in prison in trouble because they believe no one cares anyhow. But you know, tonight, Marge demonstrated. And you, I want you, no matter who you are, to get this message tonight that you can be the hands and feet of the Saviour, just like Marge, just like these four men. You see, the Bible tells us there were four men, and there you go, there's the four. They were carriers. They were bearing the person, this man, along. Can you be that person that will bring someone to the Saviour? I believe you can, and God can help you so to do. You know, God's truth wrapped in kindness is effective, folks. God's truth wrapped in kindness is effective. Marge was the stretcher bearer in bringing this man to the Saviour. These four friends didn't give up in our passage tonight. They brought the paralyzed man to the Lord Jesus. And these men challenged me to think of how we can bring Christians to the Lord in prayer as well. Not just to reach out to those that are still without the Saviour and that haven't experienced the love of Christ, but how we can bring our Christian friends to the Lord in prayer. Bring them to the feet of the Saviour in prayer. You know, there's times of sorrow, there's times of stress. Many go through, all of us included, I believe, including when there's certain times in our lives when these things can paralyze us with anxiety and we just don't know what to do. The enemy, he'll want these folk to listen to the message of the world. What's the message that we'll get online when we have stress and anxiety and all of these things? What is it? Well, these online influencers will tell us, look within. Find your inner self. Draw strength from within. Try yoga. Try mindfulness. Try all these things. That's the way of the world. Does it do any good? Well, no good compared to what we read here. You see, this man found himself in a helpless place. He was paralyzed, perhaps without hope even for the future. But these four friends knew where real hope was, and that hope was found at the feet of Jesus. He is our hope. I wonder, do you have that hope tonight? What is your hope? When things go wrong and when sorrow and stress and all of these things come into your life, who are you resting on? Tonight the hymn writer says, leaning on the everlasting arms of the Saviour. Perhaps tonight you're drowning in a sea of sorrow, as it were. Let me remind you from God's precious word tonight, just now, that the risen Saviour still has power not only to forgive sinners, but to mend broken hearts and to calm troubled minds. Prayer truly changes things. You know, the Lord brought the words of this wee chorus into my head. I only have a couple of brain cells, but knocking together one night, and I thought about a wee hymn, a wee chorus. Here's what it says. He's able, I know my Lord is. Some of you remember it. I'm not the oldest one here in the pulpit, thankfully. And it goes on to say, he's the brokenhearted and he sets a captive free. The lame he made to walk again and the blind he made to see. He's able, no matter what you're at, where you're at, what's happened. He's able to carry you through. He's a wonderful Saviour. What about us tonight? Can we be stretcher bearers like these four men? Can we bring our friends to God in prayer? Can we reach out to the lost? That was the stretcher bearer. And very quickly, the second one was the sinner. This man had many problems, but his greatest problem, the Lord Jesus was going to deal with first. You see, the two major problems, one was physical, which was temporal. Jesus identified his eternal, his spiritual need. It was the most urgent. Not only was he born a sinner, but the Bible tells us that we all have sinned. All of us, not just this man. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But just like each of us, his daily sins separated him from God. No sin can ever enter heaven. That's what the Bible tells us. And so this man's sin, if he was going to separate him, was separating him from God, was going to stop him from getting to that place called heaven. And just as sure as the Bible tells us about heaven, tragically, this man was on his way to a lost eternity in the place that the Bible calls hell. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. But you know what's even another tragedy tonight? If you're listening to me tonight and you're on that wrong road, do you know we do not know what a day will bring forth. We were in Romania, driving along in the car. There was five or six of us, and the driving's a wee bit crazy over there sometimes. And I asked Sandra. Sandra was driving. We were all stuck in the back. And I said, Sandra, what about the wee lad 3 years ago? And he used to climb the tree, and he would shout, Philippe, Philippe. And he would be away up on a tree. I'm not joking. It must have been the height. You see away up above that writing, away on up top. So high. And I said, is there no health and safety here at all? She says, no, not really. She says, you want to see the swings? You want to see the climbing frame? The climbing frame's about 20 foot tall, and you climb up a chain, and you let yourself down on the big metal pole. And he would be away up this tree. No fear. But he was a lovely, he was just what we would call a likeable rogue. So he was. He was into all the mischief of the day, but he would come up to you and he would talk to you, and he would get it translated, and you would talk to him. He would come to the meetings in the school. And I said, Sandra, what about him? Is he here this time? Can we see him? Will he be at one of the Bible clubs? She said, Philip, he went out in a wee boat. He's only 10. When I seen him, about 13, maybe now, 12, 13, went out in a wee boat with his friends. And the boat capsized in the wee lake, and he drowned. We know not what a day may bring forth. Tragic. Tragic. This man that we're thinking about tonight was a sinner. He was a sinner. I trust that young fella trusted the Savior, and he's with the Savior tonight. But you know, this man was a sinner, and he needed a Savior. What could he do? Well, not only was there the stretcher bearers, not only was there the Savior or the sinner, but there was the Savior as well. And the Savior was the answer to this man's problems. In verse 5, Jesus said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You see, this man was lost. And I'm told that during the time when the Titanic in Belfast, the tragic news reached New York and America, they set up a big place where relatives could come to get information about the passengers that were on the ship Titanic that had went down. There was a huge big list that was put up on a notice board there in that big center. And there were two names at the top of it, just two words at the top of it, and then lists of people that would be added to it. And the two names were this: saved or lost. Just simply two. And relatives would look for the people that their loved ones that were on that ship. Were they saved? Were they lost? You know, as the Lord looks down tonight, he doesn't see you with money or without money or with this problem. He sees you simply as either lost on your way to an eternity without Christ, or he sees you as saved, as one of his children, saved and on your way to be with him someday. I wonder, are you saved, or are you lost? You know, the Bible reminds us that man looks on the outside. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord God in heaven looks on the heart. The songwriter got it right again, and he penned these words, just came to me. Come every soul, by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. There's the invitation. And what does it say? Here's the promise. He will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him when? Only trust him now. I wonder tonight, have you trusted him? If not, the Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. I wonder, will you repent of your sin? And will you trust the risen Savior? You see, the last one, the last S was the scribes. And in verse 8, we see evidence here. Let's turn to verse 8. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason these things in your heart? You see, right now, that day, the Lord saw the heart. They didn't have to say a word. He knew what they were thinking. He knows their thoughts. He knows our thoughts tonight. He knows our excuses. He knows everything about us tonight. And right now, God sees what no one else sees. He knows where you stand. And I know there are those tonight in this place, and you're faithfully serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to really encourage you tonight. You've maybe been discouraged. Maybe you haven't seen fruit for your reward. You've been thinking and praying much for some loved one. You haven't seen any result just yet. You just keep holding on. Keep holding on. The Lord sees. And if you're faithfully serving him, just keep going. God will reward and honor you. But here are these scribes that criticized the Savior. And if you were to read down the rest of this passage, we haven't time tonight, you would see that on several occasions in this chapter, the scribes, I'm describing them as the enemy of Jesus Christ. They had religion, but they didn't have Christ. They didn't have that forgiveness of sin. They were too proud. And the enemy uses criticism to distract and try and destroy the true work of Christ, of the Church of Christ. So let's have a little reality check for all of us, me included. We want to see the blessing of God. Let's not be like the scribes and the Pharisees. Where's our focus tonight? Is our focus on Christ, or is it in the people around us? Christian, tonight I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to me. We need to have our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here tonight. We're not here to look around. We're here to praise the risen Savior. He's a wonderful Savior, and he wants all of our praise and all of our attention. Let's keep focused on him. God can do great things through his people, but we need to be seeking his face. We need to be not talking about others, not criticizing, but we need to be praising and living for the Savior. Now, Jesus, the Lord Jesus, he used this opportunity, this story, to demonstrate to the scribes that the Lord himself, the Son of Man, as he's described in this chapter, that the Son of Man alone has the power not only to heal, but to forgive lost sinners. You know, I've got my little bit of wood here, I nearly forgot about it. But you know, the story doesn't finish with just getting into the house. Remember, they thought out of the box, they looked around, they climbed up the steps at the side. The door, there was no way through. So they let their friend down by the ropes at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And it tells us that man, as Jesus spoke to him, he forgave his sin. He saw the faith that they had. And there he said in verse 12, it says, immediately he arose, took up his bed. And I can picture him. Can you picture the scene? Just folding up his wee bed, maybe. The blanket, put it under his arms. And it says he went forth, he went out. And it tells us that the people were all amazed. They were blown away. Only God could do this. And it says at the very end of verse 12, they glorified God. This was done. Not only that the scribes might see and the people might see that this is the Son of God, but that God would have all the glory through healing this man and through forgiving his sin. And you know, tonight, if you come to the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ will have all the glory. You know, the Bible says in Mark chapter 2, and it tells us there that his sins were forgiven. And when you come to the cross tonight, your sins can be forgiven through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth from all sin. I wonder tonight, will you be like this man? We have saw tonight those four different things. We have saw stretcher bearers, the challenge for us to be the hands and feet of the Savior, to bring people to the Lord Jesus. We have also seen that as we thought about the other S's, and we have thought there about the Savior. We have thought about the sinner. and what a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. There's no one that's too lost in their sin to trust the risen Savior. Jesus Christ can save the darkest sinner, the worst sinner. The Lord can save him. And then we saw the scribes. Let's not be like them. Let's keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ and believe what God can do in these days. Can God send revival? Yes, he can. But it begins in our hearts here as well. May God bless you. Thank you.